And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, hello. You know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow's Silver Circle Movie. So what we're doing is today we're going to have Duffield's going to come in from Silver Circle Movie, and she'll be here in the next hour. Then we're going to yak it up. She's staying. Yeah, she came in last night, and she's staying in the East Valley in Tempe near Arizona State University, where the theater is, and she's going to be working today with some of the students there and doing different things. And last week and over the weekend and so on, we put movie posters and cards and stuff and, you know, saturated ASU. And, you know, talking to the kid, got them some stuff and goodies and everything. But I'll bet you they want to talk to Megan more than they want to talk to me. So she's come in and go ahead and working with them and start promoting and so on. So, and I heard, I talked, a good friend of mine is a morning show over at the Clear Channel station here. And, yeah, I've been in radio, it's a long thing, long story. But he's, he's libertarian, you know, as much as he can be and keep his job, know what I mean? So, he's going to be interviewing her tomorrow morning also and help with that. That's cool. That's nice of him. And, we're going to get some promotion for Silver Circle Movie, but I see it more. I mean, I heard Taryn Lupo call. You know, I'm hoping Taryn, if you're listening, hopefully he'll call in today too, because he finished his own hand dug well in Savannah, Georgia, or near there, where he has some land that he's prepping for. And he wanted to do, I'm going to dig myself a well by hand because I'm the man. Yeehaw, and grow a beard and be a pirate and everything. So he did it, you know, so it's going to be part of, I'm sure he's going to describe it in the article and part of a book and so on and everything. Very, very cool. So he's worked on that, and I got a picture of it. He sent me a text, and it has, like, you know, a PVC head, and it looks like a handle. So I guess he's hand pumping it or something, you know, bringing it up. I'm really excited about this. I know he started on it. God, wasn't too long ago, about a month ago or something. I don't know, you know, he's day and night doing this thing, but, you know, he got a well and did it himself, so we're going to hear all about that. So he'll be writing an article for, and he's like, you know, I want it to be exclusive, so we had talked about it, you know, doing it for the magazine, the new newsletter, we're focusing on this kind of stuff as we're doing this, and I don't care about it being exclusive, you know, I mean, if he's got a bunch of plays put out and everybody learn, you know, rock and roll, but I just, you know, well, I want to publish it. I mean, make sure we can do that. So we'll work it out. And Taryn, how'd I get on Taryn? Because he told me that he saw the finished, polished version of Silver Circle up at Pork Fest, at Liberty Forum a couple months ago. And he said it was really good. So Taryn says. So I'm looking forward to seeing it tomorrow. A bunch of us are going to go out there and, you know, be somebody. And I'm hoping to get a good turnout. I have no idea. I mean, we've been promoting the crap out of it, but, you know, an animated political film of, you know, freedom, good, government, bad, you just never know. So that might be its biggest draw. So we're going to find out what's going on around the country, because I know we were offering to take Megan out last night and, you know, and woohoo and entertain her and whatever she wants to do. And, you know, we got vehicles here and do whatever. And she's like, you know, we are so packed. We got so many things to do. Washington, D.C. is coming up this weekend. So for the premiere there. And she's like, I got plenty to do. So, and then she has to get up early. to come over here. Ouch. So we're Northwest Valley. So it's like, you know, it's Valley of the Sun. I mean, you can be in the valley and still be 5 billion miles away from somebody. But it is probably, you know, 30, 40 minutes from where she's at to drive up here. So it was nice of her to do that. So we're going to do what we can to try and make sure we get as much promotion as possible. Now, what we did do is we... Excuse me a second. What we did do is we created media packets. And they're like tube mailers. You know, you get those like 2-inch tubes or... it's about 2-inch tubes by 18 inches or something like that. And we put a movie poster in there and some of the media information and cards and trinkets and trash and stuff. And we address them to various different reporters and anchors and so on that we know. And then, of course, their newsroom, assignment desk, that kind of stuff. And just, you know, it's not a secret. Okay. So we got them to put, and we're starting to have, as we've been doing this over the years, I have an Excel spreadsheet that has all the media outlets. Excuse me. All the media outlets and all of the reporters that we know, and but it's changing. I tell you, you know, the evolution of us doing, and this is a good thing to share with you. Okay, I got a few minutes this segment. This is good information. The lamestream media, the media that's so last century, I have seen it evolve as a young activist from the early 90s. You know, when it used to have the reporters freaking everywhere, an ocean of, you know, government sycophants doing their press release by government handout kind of thing, you know, and it's just to sit there and watch it happen and be a part of it as an alternative media back in the day. I mean, we were, you know, doing our own newspaper, we had our own printing press, we were getting the message out, we bypassing them. And usually no one does that. It's always everybody going up, oh, please, sir, can we have a line in the, you know, whatever. And the only coverage you get is by doing, you know, your crazy, stupid activist getting, you know, look at me stuff, which you're really good at. So we go, okay. You know, well, we can keep doing this, get government numbers, you know, you get an arrest number, you get a lawsuit number, a referendum, an initiative number, a candidate number, a, you know, whatever number, or usually an arrest number. So you get, you know, all these numbers, and then it was like a starting pistol for them to cover it. But he always had the adjectives, you know, tie-dye wearing, dope-smoking, gun-toting, crazy libertarian Ernie Says, you know, that kind of thing. As years go on, I kind of drop all the adjectives, and usually they'll throw in libertarian or activist or political gadfly or whatever the hell you want to come up with. We didn't care. You know, we're like, yeah, whatever. You know, our friends and family know what's going on, and, you know, the more you talk about it, the better, and whatever. So if you're not willing to take the hits, don't get started, because that's, you know, that's exactly what, the more effective you are, the more they slam on you. You know, if you're not taking flack, you're not over the target, okay? So what we did is just to make sure it was kind of like a signal flare. You know, a lot of people, hey, I saw that, and they saw through the crap. They knew what the issue was. They experienced it. And then you start building, you know, people that are in support. Well, we could see what was happening with the print media, radio, and television. When we come back, I'll go over that because I'm going to run out of time here because this is very interesting. Radio would never break stories. By policy, we don't break stories. Now, of course, I always did when I started doing radio. Okay, I will. I mean, I don't care. I got a microphone. Is this thing on? Okay, well, let's break stories, you know? So, but they didn't do that. It was always led by what was in the newspaper. It was a rip and read, man. It's just give me that and okay, what's in here and we'll talk about it. And that was their... So whenever... They wanted me to be on radio. You know, we'd have all kinds of different controversial whatever the heck going on. They wouldn't have me come on until it was in the newspaper. So oftentimes, they were like, okay, well, here, talk to so-and-so. And it would be the editorial page editor or the whatever, get a guest article out of me, or there'd be, you know, comment on, or I interview for or something. Then you would go and do a segment or an hour or 3 hours on the radio station. And I'm like... Why is that? How does that work? You know, and what did the television do? Much the same thing. Why? How? What? From back in the day, I'll explain it to you how the media worked. I don't know what they're doing now because they're just floundering out there like a fish, you know. Blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it's a change. And we're moving up towards the top saying, hello.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Hello. Mr. Terlupo called. But damn it, I promised you to finish this story. Okay, media coverage. I'll do it with Taryn, and we're going to talk about his pump thing and everything. All right. You there, Taryn?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish your story.
All right, let me finish my story. Damn it, everybody yells at me because I don't finish my story. Okay, this is what's going on. Media coverage, how we got the list, this is how it applies to today. Megan Duffield is coming in studio here in the next hour. And then we have a Silver Circle movie that's going to be premiering in East Valley tomorrow near Arizona State University. Now, when we over the years, we have created the media list. Now, it used to be longer. It had a lot of, you know, local papers and different things and so on. But, you know, a lot of them have just gone. They don't exist anymore. They don't do anything. Or it's just a, you know, computer that, you know, spits out a paper or something. So we been tracking this for over 20 years. Who else has a perspective on how the media works than those that are doing all kinds of stunt activism, you know, look at me, and, you know, putting out the up the flame, the torch, and kind of, hey, over here, and freedom kind of resides. So as we're doing that and setting up signal flares, we count on the media, and they always like, well, you know, they like, you know, doing the adjectives, you know, crazy tie-dye wearing, dope-smoking, gun-toting individuals. And we're going, okay, cool. Yeah, we're getting the right people that way. You keep saying that. So that was it. And we did our own printing press stuff. We did our own newspaper. You know, we would you know, pass out VHS tapes and cassettes of. And there was a time when you could get these VHS styrofoam tapes. They weren't even plastic. They were made of styrofoam. And, you know, you're lucky if you could rewind them more than four, five, six times, you know. And you know, you used to be able to make these tapes and mail them for about a dollar. You know, in fact, in 94, one of the gubernatorial candidates, a Republican, did that. So we would do all kinds of crazy stuff like this. Now we got DVDs. We can do a lot cheaper. You know, we can do, you know, a lot more. We have the internet. And so we saw that coming. And we used a lot of email also as activists would consolidate around different issues, certainly like the Second Amendment. Excuse me. So what we did is we go, all right. The media would base everything off of a print person. Now, I was looking it up, Thomas Wolfe. And now, Thomas Wolfe, it looks like he died back in, you know, he was up to the 30s or something. Maybe Taryn knows this. Let me describe this to you, Taryn. You can help me out.
Okay.
There was, in the late 80s or early 90s, there was a presentation. It was like a forum at a university up on a stage, you know, big audience and so on. And Ted Koppel, that used to host Nightline. Nightline was a... Do you remember Nightline with Ted Koppel?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Ted Koppel's Nightline started with the Iran hostage incident. You know, day 373, okay? And it was during the Carter, end of the Carter administration. It started, you know, it was a kind of a tick countdown of how long before we get hostages kind of thing. So it was every night they'd touch on that. And then, of course, it became a regular late night. Instead of watching, I don't know, Johnny Carson or After Johnny Carson or whatever it was, you'd have Nightline, which would be a late night news thing. So it was, you know, lamestream media, but, you know, it's more news. So before cable news 24/7 came, and this is, you wanted it late at night, that's what you got. So Ted Koppel with the, you know, the uber-duber comb-over, he was giving his spiel. Well, there was a forum that he hosted, moderated, that had at least four guys. There was a guy from 60 Minutes, and I thought the guy's name was Thomas Wolfe. That's just what stuck in my head, but the guy I'm looking up, you know, died in the 30s. But anyway, so there was this guy up there that was a novelist and author, and he made this point. After the 60 Minute guy got up, he goes up and he says, we have a lot of footage when he interviewed these guys that are on the cutting room floor. You don't get to see the whole, we edit it however they want to do it, whatever they want to present. And then there's all this other information. He goes, the TV in the future is going to have the tell me more button. I want to know more. I want to know more. I want to see the whole thing. I want, you know, kind of like the internet. Well, Thomas Wolfe, well, this Thomas guy, whoever it was, he was making the point. He goes, look, it doesn't make any difference you're not going to have anybody there to do the interviews. The vast majority of the news that we get used to come from investigative reporters and the local reporter at the local kind of, from Savannah, Georgia to L.A. to Phoenix to D.C. I mean, there was always some little, guy in there looking to make a name for himself or a column or investigative or somebody. And I found, and then, of course, an editor and or publisher that said, okay, run with it. All the president's men were taking down Watergate. Okay, so I'm going, these guys, it's always individuals that make decisions and put themselves out there. Well, if they're going to keep doing that, then the big bad guys just keep buying them up. Guess who you work for? So this was, these little reporters is what would see the entire talk, radio, and television. And the point that Thomas was making, he's going, look, you don't have those guys anymore. You used to have tens of thousands of these reporters. This is in the late 80s, early 90s. He's going, you used to have, that was everything. And now they're going down, and they're half what they were and half what they were. And they're a fraction of what they were. But what they didn't understand is what we understood as activists. We were the reporters. We were the journalists. We were the ones that were standing there seeing what's going on and could write and do our own paper and write novels and books and on and on and on. We were the ones, my goodness, now we have special editions on Freedom's Phoenix and guys that can put up and do and write and whatever they want. And I got a camera phone and video of my iPhone. I'm standing there on the edge of the smoking crater of the car bomb in whatever country, in whatever language it's translated. Hello. So how do they deal with that? Well, they don't. And this is the point that I'm making. When we started the big email or the media list, whenever we have any political thing, when Dr. Paul first came here in the March of 07, he came, man, we had him filled up. We know who to contact and how to do, and it's all good. But this is what's changed. There is no investigative reporting anymore. It's all report by, party, government, 3x5 card, bullet point handout by somebody. And they are just regurgitating. So if you know this and you know how it works, well, then you make their job easy. That's what they want. Hey, man, I just want to get home by 5, and say hey to the kiddies and have dinner, and I'll come back tomorrow at 9. This is just how they work. So what do? You create the media packet. You have all the stuff, all the contacts, all the things. And then you say, hey, is this a current updated number and the person to give to and everything? And who's your event guy that puts the stuff up on your calendar, on your website? And this kind of, we'll address one to them too. And then the assignment desk. We got the number. Then we go ahead and deliver it. This is for that person. We call, did you get it? We want to make sure you got it. Then you call them on the day of, and you go, it's just you're babysitting them because they don't really do news coverage. They don't know how anymore. They don't want them to. They're just like, hey, man, this is how you keep your job. You just do what we tell you. You get whatever. And if it bleeds, it leads. Or if you got some big giant fire, if you got flames licking the side of, maybe we'll put it in there. News coverage has devolved into, I don't know what it is now. It's not news coverage. Infotainment, it's propaganda. Well, we're spiking the matrix. That's what we're really focusing on. I mean, it's become so obvious now. When we come back, Karen Lupo is going to give us some real news that we're breaking. How do you dig your own well?
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. On the line, we have Mr. Taryn Lupo, which I think would be a great addition to the Freedom Summit. The Freedom Summit, it's going to be February 14th through 16th. I'm pretty sure I got dates right. I need to write that on here and make sure I get it right. It's President's Day weekend. It's the middle weekend in February, because we always like to do them on 3-day weekends. We usually do Columbus or Veterans in the fall. And February is still very nice here to do. We did a couple of them around Christmas. That was really cool. That was part of the contract. We said, oh, we wanted all Christmased up inside the, you know, the ballroom. And that turned out to be really nice. So February, we're probably not going to be honoring President's Day. But we'll have, you know, a three-day weekend. That always makes it nice. And the theme is kind of a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk with Taryn about. Because my whole thing is this. Freedom's Phoenix, the concept, was always the rebirth of freedom from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. Now, that's the logo. That's the concept, the rebirth of freedom. You almost got to get to the ashes before you can have the rebirth. And I don't envy, you know, people going through ashes, but I tell you, you know, that's about where I see it going. And if it doesn't, it'll linger on in this kind of malaise of, you know, yuck. So I'm hoping we can break free. I want to break free. So we're going to go ahead and emphasize that. Now, I've already got a few names, you know, of people, and I don't want to give out all the names because we haven't got confirmation on some of them. But, you know, it's going to be, you know, guy Cody Wilson's already agreed to come, you know, the 3D printing guy, DefCAD and Defense Distributed. Taryn would be, you know, a great speaker on the future of publishing and whatever else he wants to talk about, and certainly his sustainable stuff. But I tell you what's happening. It looks like this Agenda 21 is all-encompassing kind of thing, but it's got much deeper roots than that. And what it really comes down to is that from the big bad boys up at the top of the heap of somewhere, you know, they've come down to the treaty this and you got to that and UN whatever and countries must. And you get down to where the Congress will do a whatever and the states will, it'll be some kind of funding incentive and bribe to the states to come up with a plan of whatever. And it usually works like this. The states go, you have to have a comprehensive development, sustainable whatever plan. They got all these buzzwords that they use. Well, you start, you know, they're passing out stuff last week at the different meetings in Mesa, Arizona, as people are coming in. Oh, here's some information. Watch out for these terms. When they say this, it means this. When they say this, it means this. By the end of the meeting, everybody's going, God, they said every single one of those things, and they're just going to take my crap. Yes, they are. Well, then the next week when they start meeting or later their meeting, they changed all the terms. It's not sustainable. It's, you know, whateverable, you know. And so you can see this battle going on. So what's happening is that they have created a comprehensive plan or sustainable development, all this other crap that they're going from the state that the counties and then the cities, you know, must employ to be able to get access to whatever goodies. There's always some bribe in there. So they do it. In the city charter. So my suggestion to these guys, go, if you really want to, you want to show who's what, you know, do an initiative to change the charter. It says, yeah, you can have all your plan or whatever, as long as it doesn't affect the individual property owner and the use of their property to grow, do, sell, get whatever they want, which was the whole point of the whole thing anyway. They just don't say it. Okay. So I go, if you put a prohibition on them telling individual property on what they do with their property, they want to hand dig their own well kind of thing. You do that. Oh, the bad guy is going to come surfacing on that one. You watch what happens. Boom. They start. That's what happened. So Saturday we had the Breakfast Club. We talked about it, and all of a sudden, you know, the immediate past chair of the Arizona GOP comes and wants to talk. Oh, I got religion. I'm Ron Paul now. I'm sorry we screwed you all those other times for the years and both elections. And you know, I'm so sorry. My son, you know, converted me and I want to help. And we got to get and right the ship of state kind of thing. And I'm going, it's always about the ship of state, and you forget the people. Well, Taryn Lupo is going to help me with the people. Now, let's go ahead from the beginning. He's in Lowe's right now. So you're going to be hearing, you're going to be shoppers, blue light special on rakes. Okay, so go ahead and balance of this segment for a couple of minutes. Tell me what it is that you are doing, why, and where.
Well, I'm kind of following pretty much the same path as Ernie. I think that's why we get along is that I used to be a hardcore activist out there waving signs, and I realized that it was just not the best use of my time. And the last couple of years, I've moved into more of the best disobedience I can do is grow my own food and take care of myself and get off the system. And that, I think, is a lot more powerful. And as part of that learning process, I think that one of the first and most important things to do is to get sustainable with your water source. And now with you guys in the desert, it's a little harder because, you know, your well water is a little deeper than mine. But a lot of places in the country, you can just hand dig a well and get an access to water within 20 to 30 feet. And I decided, I live in Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, and I wanted to teach myself how to hand dig a well. I didn't know anything about it. I read a couple articles and books and kind of fused them together to, you know, figure out what would work right for me. And even though there are easier ways to do it, like you can drill a well with water. You can take a big pipe and stick a hose on it and, you know, the water will push it out. I wanted worst case scenario that I had absolutely no power. I was going to hand dig this thing old school. And so I bought an auger, which is, if you guys like, don't know what auger is, it's kind of like a shovel that you can dig a post with, post hole digger, but it's rounded so you can spin it around and it fills up with dirt, and then you can lift the whole auger out of the ground and it takes a, you know, 4 or 5 inches of dirt out. So instead of like a post hole digger where you're dropping it in and you're closing it and you're, they're like two little shovels on a stick, this is a round sort of device that you spin and it's a lot more efficient. It really digs the ground up fast. I used a hand auger, and I did get some child labor help. I borrowed one of my friend's kids and made them also dig. And once you get down about 15 to 20 feet, it really becomes a two-man job. It's hard to do anything on your own because the weight gets so heavy on the auger.
Because how long are the sections? You know, like 4 feet, 5 feet, 10 feet?
Yeah, you can't really handle more than 4 foot sections. So what you're doing is you have the shovel, and then you get steel pipe, and because it has to be strong enough, you can't use PVC. You steel pipe, and then you put like an extension on it, and you put another 4 foot section as you dig.
Now,
and
is
then
this
once you dig it too low, you put another 4 foot section.
Now, is this like plumber's pipe, or do you got to get a special kit for it?
Right at Lowe's, this is the cheap. It's one in a most well stuff I'm finding out is 1 1/4 inch. Just get regular 1 1/4 inch steel pipe. And
yeah, but that's heavy, man.
It is heavy. But the thing is you're pushing. The weight actually helps you dig.
Yeah, okay.
So once the thing gets heavy enough, it's all you have to do is spin it, and the weight does the digging. The hard part is pulling it back up because you're pulling out wet clumps of mud on top of, you know, 20 feet of steel pipe.
Oh, man, you're just like back breaking, bending over, pulling that stuff up, didn't you? Well,
yeah,
didn't you come up with a winching kind of tripod, dumb, lazy thing?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's easier ways to do it. You can definitely, if you need to do a well fast, you could use a hose and dig it for you.
Yeah, I know what Georgia clay is like. That's heavy, man.
But that was the challenge. I wanted to see if I could do it without any power at all. And there is some problems. Like, through it around 5 feet, I hit kind of this rocky surface that we had to kind of go sideways and dig around and break it up, and it was real frustrating. I got stuck at a spot for hours trying to knock this little section loose, and then once it was out, then the rest went easy.
Wow. Okay.
And so I go over that in the video and how to do it, and then there's a whole other component is you're putting a big pipe in the ground called a casing, and that's what, if you've ever been out to the country, you'll see these white pipes sticking up that are about 4 inches, and those are casings where the well is. And then you just put the pump into it. And then that's a whole other thing, learning how to use the pumps and assemble those.
Okay, well, I saw a picture of the wellhead, and it looked like there was a handle pump there. So you're hand pumping this, right?
I wanted a hand pump well that I could use if there was no power.
Oh, see? Much coolness. We're going to hear more about it. We'll go straight to Taryn when we come back in the next segment and get the rest of the story.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free.
Yeah, one of the ways is having some wah-wah. Okay, let's go. I got you there, Taryn.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, you're being a slacktivist. We had to change lines, you know, and he wouldn't answer the phone. I guess it's like Lowe's.
I couldn't hear it. Yeah. It's
now, whenever I'm at Lowe's, that happens, too. You get in the middle of and the signal goes bad. Okay. So you're in Lowe's getting goodies. What are you getting goodies for now?
I've got a second well on the property that was kind of abandoned. And now I know how to do it. I'm cleaning it up and putting a different style pump on, but it's another kind of hand pump. I don't know if you've ever seen the old school pitcher pumps.
Oh, yeah.
I'm putting one of those on the old well, and the new well I dug, I did a completely PVC setup, so nothing can ever rust.
So it looks like what you've done is you have this long PVC, whatever, you kind of push it down, and you're pulling up a two-handle, just back-breaking, lifting water up kind of thing, like you're
pretty much
Egyptian or something.
There's two kinds of wells that I'm setting up, and what I mean by that is the cylinders that go into the casing. The casing's the big white tube in the ground, and then that collects all the water. Then you stick another tube in there to actually lift the water out. One of the casings is like an old school... Excuse me, one of the wells is like an old-school cylinder. So it's like a big pipe with a little pipe in it that draws water in and out. And then you can go real old-school, which is just a simple pipe you stick in the ground with a pitcher pump, and you kind of have to load the pitcher pump up with water and push, 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 and it will spit out water. It just doesn't spit it out as hard or fast.
Okay, now let me go ahead, and one question I always had, in the casing... How far down do you have to go to the casing? How do you get it pressed into the hole? How deep do you have to go with it? Tell me everything.
Okay. It depends where you hit water at. I dug, and I live in a swamp, so my water was not deep. It was like 4 or 5 feet down I hit water. So you want to go, you can't go any more than 33 feet. Like theoretically, you just can't lift with a hand pump more than 33 feet. Everything I'm talking about is hand pumping. It's completely different if you're using a machine.
Mm-hmm.
Pull it out. So hand pumping, you're going 33 feet, you go in. So it depends in that 33 feet where you hit the water. Let's just keep the math easy. Say you hit the water at 10 feet down, you need to go at least another 10 feet into the water, possibly 15, depending on how far that water goes. But what you're watching is where the soil changes, because you'll have a layer of topsoil, and then where the water lives is this sandy gravel. Like the sandy gravel, and here it's a kind of a Georgia clay mix with a sandy gravel. Where you live, you'll just hit like,
rock. It'll
get real gritty and little bits of rock. That's the level where the water is. Once you go through the next layer where it changes, you're done digging. So you go as far as you can into the gritty part, and that's usually like 10, 15 feet. With a hand pump, a lot of times you don't have to go that deep. Even though my well's 20, I mean, my shaft is 20 feet long. I probably only had to sink something 15 feet down because there's so much water I can't pump it out. It recovers faster than I can pump it, so it's never going to run out.
Swamp,
yeah.
Okay, so how is the water? Is the water good?
Still the second, third day now, so it's still murky and muddy. It'll take a good, with a hand pump, and when you create a well, the more you use it, the better it gets. It creates channels in the ground and clears out all the muddy channels. So I'm still getting muddy murk water, which is actually really good for plants. So I'm using it on plants because it's like fertilizer, it's got soil in it.
All right, very cool.
And as far as holding the plastic piece up the casing, what you do is you dig, and you're digging about a 6-inch hole, which actually ends up being about an 8-inch hole when you dig it. It gets wider. And then the hole should be twice as wide as the pipe. So if the pipe's 4-inch, the hole should be 8-inch. You put it down and you actually cut gills, like you cut little slits into the casing. And what that does is it lets water run in from the environment into the casing itself. So you put all these little, you just take a circular saw and just cut the heck out of the pipe where the water is. And then you backfill it with peat rock. So you put peat rock down it, and then that lets the water come and go through the casing real easily and keeps it secure.
Okay, so you just drop it in there. You don't have to pound it in like you see on some of the...
No, the hole's already dug, so all you're doing is sliding it in, and you're trying not to murk it up too much. And
well, I see on these, big professional... They're always banging in these steel casings into the hole, So I'm just wondering, so you're not having to worry about that.
They're not usually... They're digging oil in those things. I think I'm digging water, usually. So, I want a space around my pipe, so water can come in. Yes, ma'am, thank you.
And tell me about this, the PVC pipe that you got inside, what kind of seal? How are you, lifting the water up? What kind of valving is there?
The actual cylinder itself that goes in has rubber gaskets on, one end is a foot valve, which means it's like at the very, very bottom, there's this like metal screen. It's like a screen that's a cone-shaped screen on the very bottom to keep rocks out and stuff. Then at the top is a rubber valve at the well seal. So you have this pipe that's sticking up this 4 inches, and then you stick a specially designed well seal on top of that pipe that lets the smaller pipes go through it.
So
and
it's like
that
a,
usually
like an
has
O-ring
rubber gaskets.
An O-ring
Right. It's an O-ring with pieces cut out so the pipes can fit through. And then what happens is they have rubber-designed gaskets that you simply tighten it down with, it has screws on it. And when you tighten it down, the rubber gets thicker and thicker and thicker, so it secures everything. So you put everything in place and then crank it down, and it seals itself. It's very, very simple, actually. I want you to understand what it is.
And this is stuff that, it's made for this? Did you have to order this? They have it at Lowe's? What?
Because there's a lot of people on well, so I just got it. Most of my stuff I got on Amazon. The only thing I really got on Lowe's is the piping and the stuff that doesn't make any sense to ship.
Okay, so let's say you're 20, 30 something feet down, you got a working well, you're ready to rock and roll and irrigate. How much did this whole project cost you?
If you're going to start with absolutely no tools, you're looking at about $600 to $700. But my second well, I can dig for about $200. So once you have all the tools, you can keep digging wells for about $200 to $250.
That was one thing that a lot of us talked about as we're, getting ready for this kind of thing, is that we buy a well digging thing that we share. I mean, I don't need it sitting on my side yard forever and always. As far as I'm concerned, how many wells can I dig, So I'm just... if you had access to a machine or the back of, you see these, maybe you know this, you see these Jeeps going around with some kind of oil rig on it, have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
What is
that? Well, those are the professional well diggers. So they're usually the guys that go for the deep wells.
And
I'm only doing a hand, yeah. When you go out to the country, if you really want the good water, you go 100, 200 feet down and into the aquifer. And but at that point you can't use a hand pump anymore. You're using a machine to draw water out.
Well, your whole point is you wanted to do the hand pump because, you know what? I don't have power but my back and I got teenagers and get on it.
Well, I actually have a regular deep well and I have power. And I guess if I had solar and the whole setup, it would pump it out and I would be all right. But I don't have all that set up yet. So I wanted another safety net, basically, a well that I can water my garden, I can wash myself, I can feed, drink, whatever, the pets and animals, and we all got enough water with this thing. To me, it's the price of a couple rain barrels,
So it was like, as much as you can, you're willing to stand there and pump it, you got water coming. So, you're going without killing yourself, and you were there for a half hour, and I'm doing my daily workout, I get water, how much you think you're generating?
If you're really pushing it, if you're just regular pumping, you can fill a 5-gallon bucket in about a minute and a half.
Wow.
So with the kind I have, the cylinder setup that I have pulls a lot of water and pushes a lot of water. If you're using the old school pitcher pumps, the ones you see, where they're made of metal and with the handles, those are slower. That would take me probably twice as long.
You know, this is I'm really glad you did this, and I'm looking forward to the video. You know, how long do you think the video is going to edit down to?
Probably, my goal is to get under 15 minutes.
Very, very cool. And you're a big fan of wood chipping, you know, mulching kind of gardening, no weed thing. And we're on a side of our yard here. We're going to put in two connecting geodesic domes that we're going to use as shade and greenhouses, more shade than greenhouse here. And we got a pond here that we have like a water feature that, you know, heck, it's like a big giant hot tub. And I'm sick of cleaning this thing. And so we're going to turn that into fish for aquaponic system we're going to create out here over the next month. That's going to be my project. So
I'm excited to see that.
Oh, hold on. I want to talk to you.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember.
No fear. Megan is stuck in traffic. She's going to be here in a little bit, so Taryn's going to stay for another segment and say, yo, what's up, and bail her butt out. And, you know, I got to tell you this real quick. Yesterday, a doctor friend of mine, you know, whenever I, you know, kind of, you know, hey, laser me a, you know, dark spot on my forehead or take a look at this mole or I need, you know, something. I mean, you know, go, the excuse to go see and say, yo, what's up. He's as a practice not too far from me. So I made an appointment, I don't know, God, like a month ago. I mean, when you open and we're just, you know, I'll come by and, you know, whatever. So I go by and he goes, nothing's wrong with you. And I go, I know, I just want to talk to you. So how you doing? I want to explain something to you. So I spend probably 5 minutes with him and he had patience and I didn't want to take up a lot of his time. But, you know, that's the only time we get to see each other except at, you know, different events that we go to and such. But I wanted to bring up one thing. FreeAid.com, FR33Aid.com. This concept, I wanted to expose him to it, you know, send him a cover, give him one of the issues, he subscribes to the magazine. So I said, this edition, I go, I want you to understand, I can see into the future. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be us taking care of ourselves. Everybody's always looking to something. I mean, you better join some kind of group of friends or be productive and add to and not be a taker kind of, because all of you, well, what are you going to do for me? Okay, I filled out the paperwork and here's my $5. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Not a damn thing hit the road. But if you're willing to be part of, have something of value, you can lay brick, pipe, dig a well, you know, all of a sudden, you know what? I might be able to, you know, help you out and set your broken bone or something. So this is one thing that one of the other projects and part of this whole thing that we're working on is medicine, dental care. You know, I mean, I go to the livestock feed store and get me some penicillin and jam it up in my tooth and kind of, you know, fix the abscess kind of thing and save myself a gazillion dollars for a little behind the eyeball pain for a couple of seconds and I'm cured and save myself, you know, $4,000. I mean, these are the kind of things that we're going to need to know. You know, that's one thing. Taryn, you know, I got you here. You know, you write a lot of your time pieces, like, you know, you're the Pirates of Savannah and sometimes Into the Future with Blood Nation and all these kinds of things. Do you ever address healthcare back in then? I mean, are they sawing off their legs and putting on their wooden peg by themselves? I mean, you know, do you address that?
In Pirates of Savannah, I definitely did talk about, I tried to do a lot of research to keep it historically accurate and research exactly how they would have treated a kind of injury on a ship. And, you know, as you probably know, it was extremely barbaric back then in that sense. But, yeah, you can definitely have fun reading that book and get grossed out.
Well, you know what? I mean, well, what, give me an example. They take a hot sword and cauterize it and throw some tar on it, or what?
Well, usually the carpenter was the surgeon on a ship. So it was the same tools. It was the, you know, hammer, chisel, hacksaw. It was the same guy that did all the wood repair.
So damn.
The carpenter was also the, because they didn't have, the ships weren't that big that, you know, you need a full-time surgeon.
Well, did they do any kind of
other stuff?
Was there any kind of operations or surgery or sutures even?
Back then was amputations. Amputations and burning it shut. So there wasn't really stitching. It was burning it.
Damn.
Most people died. There wasn't a lot to survive that kind of stuff.
Well,
and, the fallacy of with pirates that, you know, they have hooks and missing eyes was real. Like, that's not just Hollywood. They were really messed up.
Well, tell me about, you know, you're taking a few months off to do this, getting stuff, you know, your planting and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, do you got a plan for your next book? What are you working on?
Actually, I'm finishing Before Porkfest a book on, I had written kind of a romance story about Nazi Germany, swingtime Nazi Germany, where there was a romance between a swing kid, a Jewish swing kid, and a officer of a Nazi, a Nazi's daughter. I can't talk this morning. Nazi's daughter, and then what happens is they fall in love. And that was a time period where Hitler had outlawed all swing dancing and jazz music. He said it was black and Jewish influence. And you'd basically get sent into a concentration camp if you got caught dancing. But there was one of the very first in Germany, one of the very first activism was these kids completely ignored it, these swing kids, and did it anyway as a sign of defiance. And, of course, stakes got real, and a lot of them got hung and killed. Just, and all they ever want to do is listen to swing music and jazz and hit on girls, you know?
Hey, man, we saw this happen. It was called Dancing at TJ's, the Thomas Jefferson Memorial.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And the difference was what?
It's really not. It's the same idea, except, you know, there they went to concentration camps or re-education camps. And so that's what the book is about. It's a romance in that time period as this kid's trying to risk it all to meet this girl. And I've got the first part already done and out, and I'm currently playing around and writing the second part now. But it's shorter. It's just a novella. So that means it's a read you can do in, you know, an hour and a half.
Very cool. Okay, well, let's go ahead and tell you one of the things that you needed to take the break because you wanted to do get your planting and stuff done. And I know you did another video. One of your projects was you lay your manure bed, a little raised bed kind of thing, and then you put, like, 10 feet of wood chips on top of it or something. You know, tell me about that.
Even though I live kind of in a swamp with lots of water, I used to just be terrible at gardening because it gets so hot in Savannah that if you miss a day and you forget to water, all your stuff's dead. So I was like, what can I do besides spending a massive amount of money on irrigation and throwing water, you know, at these plants? And I found out about chip gardening, which is where you use massive amounts of wood chips, like 6 to 8 inches of ground up wood, not mulch, ground up wood chips. And they act like little sponges. And so what they do is to prove I could do it, last year I made a video where I grew a winter thing. I grew broccoli in the middle of a drought without water. So I chipped the garden, soaked it once, and then once the first big rain came, it soaked it, and it was able to go months just on those chips, and I didn't have to water it. And I grew broccoli in 90 degree weather.
And one of the other benefits is it keeps the weeds down.
Yeah, you don't have to weed, and also it turns to fertilizer. So unlike traditional farming where you rip the soil up and then you're going to rip it up again and refertilize it, and rip it up again and refertilize it, this way is you're mimicking the forest floor. And the forest floor, the soil gets better and better and better every year. It doesn't get worse and worse and worse. And that's what you're doing is the chips act, not only do they keep stuff moist, not only do they keep it warm if it freezes, and they also turn to fertilizer. So once it's set up, it's really easy. The next year, all you have to do is throw an inch or two of chips on and you're done.
You know, I'm glad you're doing a lot of this stuff. You know, it's, you know, one less thing I got to do.
Well, I experiment. I don't believe that stuff. Like, I'll read stuff on the internet, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try that and see if it works. And the stuff that it works, I go and preach about, and then the stuff that doesn't, I tell people.
Oh, I tell you one thing I don't preach enough about. I know you got a sun oven, huh? What do you think of that thing?
Oh, I just got it. You know, you had that sale going on. I don't know. Do you still have that sale going on your website?
Yeah. No, you get $80 off. You go on Freedom's Phoenix and get the Sun Oven. You it's all over, you know, ads for it somewhere. Maybe I need to check it and make sure I got it up there.
Because
it might expire.
I've been preaching about that, and I'm doing a story now on the Sun Oven where I'm testing cooking different things to see how they turn out. And so far, it's been fantastic. But I'm cooking kind of in spring and winter still. I don't really have full sun yet, and that's coming.
Oh, this is it. We did a sirloin roast as one of our extra ovens for Easter. I mean, you just run out of room. You got so much crap, you know. And we used the sun. I overcooked it. I go, well, you'll probably leave it a little longer. It's a sun oven. I'm learning my lesson, man. You know, that thing is, it's an oven. It's, you know, 350, 400 degrees. It's just, you know, degrees is degrees. I can get over it.
Yeah.
Okay. Gregory Devlin, just a little bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, what we're going to do is, Taryn's working on so many projects. Here's the guy. He's got a mosquito problem. You know, I'm going, okay, mosquito problems are like mosquito problems. Megan, there she is. Okay, I need to know, you have mosquito problems, I want to hear everything. So tell me real quick, before you got to go, you know, your solution here and what you're going to try. Because I've been, you go to airports, and I see, like, New Hampshire, you fly in, they go, you got a black fly problem? We got the solution, okay? And it's just, and they'll have this demonstration, and they'll got like a foot thick of black flies in their terrarium or whatever. And what they do is, what they're finding out is what attracts, I guess they just didn't know this until, you know, this last decade or something, is that when you exhale, the CO2 is what attracts the mosquitoes, and they'll just follow you around. So I'm going, so if you don't breathe, you'll be all right. Okay, so what they do is they have these propane things that make carbon dioxide or monoxide or whatever, and here they come, and they get trapped in the thing. Well, that's $1 gazillion. Well, Taryn's got a solution. What might that be?
Well, I haven't tried it yet. I'm still experimenting, and this is kind of the new way I'm doing articles is I'm finding out sustainability things, trying it, see if they work, and then I report if they work or not. And what I'm doing is I've seen this thing go around the net where it was you use an old soda bottle. So you get one of those plastic 2-liter bottles. You cut the top off. So you cut it down the middle, cut the top off, and you flip it upside down.
Sure.
And you take the top of it and stuff it into the bottom and fill it with water, yeast, and sugar.
Wow.
So what happens is this thing creates CO2 when you put.
We'll get to you in a minute. We'll get to you in a minute, Gregory. Right. Hold on, Gregory.
Oh, no problem. Sorry.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. So you cut a soda, like a 2-liter bottle, in half, the top upside down, put the funnel down in it, put some yeast and sugar and whatever in there to create the CO2, and mosquitoes go in and they can't fly out the net.
You got it. They drown to death and fly out. And you can do it for maybe $1.50 of stuff, which is way better than $300 of. You know, so the machines cost, the propane tanks.
You know what we do here, because we have horses around us, there's a lot of flies. You know, and Donna, like this time of year, she likes having the windows open, and I got flies coming out my butt. So what we do is you get these fly-catching things, and we got to put them out on the fence, you know, because I get around it. I'm playing with my kids out in the sandbox, or my grandkids, and I'm going, yeah, somebody pooped their pants or something. I mean, what the heck? Oh, it's those fly things. So you put a little water in them, and it stinks, and they get in there, and they get caught. But I got to put up with the smell. Hopefully yeast doesn't smell that bad. Know what I mean?
I guess. Smell like bread cooking, I guess. But that's about it. And I'm going to try it, see if it works. The other approach I did is I put I have a lot of birds. I put out bird feeders, and they eat a lot of insects. But they eat the good insects and bad insects. What I'm really trying to attract are bats. Bats devastate mosquitoes. So I'm trying to put up bat houses and use some scent to attract them. And I'll see if that works, too. I mean, I'm going to make stories of all this coming up in your magazine.
Bats.
Okay.
Bats.
I mean, Taryn, you the man. All right. Thank you. You know, and we got, right, before we get to Megan real quick, Gregory Devlin from Keene, New Hampshire, mm-hmm, has called in. He wants to say, yo, what's up? Go, Gregory, we're going to use you as filler until Megan finally got here. Say hi, Megan.
Hi Megan.
Everybody. Sorry I'm late. Phoenix,
yeah, you slacktivist. Okay. So we'll get to her in just a sec. All right. Go ahead, Gregory. You wanted to say, yo, what's up? What's up, man?
Oh, yo. Yeah. I was listening, and you're right about, there is a movie, the one I saw was called Swing Kids, and that involves Nazi Germany and Hitler and those things. But everything you're talking about is very useful information. For instance, mosquitoes. I mean, who wants to live with them? Who doesn't? I mean, who wants them gone? You know what I mean?
Well, the state bird in Georgia. I mean.
Yeah, bats, you know, bees, for goodness sake. You know, bats are wonderful creatures. Bees are wonderful creatures, too. You know, but, I mean, I could go chickens in a hen house if I didn't have my bats and my bees in the right place.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing, Taryn. What about, you know, I got chickens. I mean, you know, chickens and mosquito-eating individuals or what?
I don't know much about
so
chickens.
I don't know.
I think they eat everything.
I don't think they fly that high. Well, Gregory, are you from Keene originally, or did you move there part of the Free State Project, or what?
No, I didn't move there as part of the Free State Project. I was actually born a liberal outside of New York City. And but my family been coming up here from New York to Keene my whole life to go to funerals and such. So it was just natural for me to relocate here. And I got my degree at Keene State College eventually. My dad used to teach at Fordham University in the Bronx, New York.
Really?
He was going to do a semi-retirement at Keene State, and that got me to Keene. So now I'm like, I feel like I'm living on top of the world, but I can see, well, I can almost see the airport from here. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, very cool. Thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, not a problem. In fact, I am very much in Freedom Shire, if you know Ian and those guys. So I don't, you know how sometimes your life spells out things that you just have to walk through until you get there? That's kind of where I'm at, you know? So I don't care if I'm liberal, libertarian, or conservative, or whatever. You know, somebody has a good idea if it involves flies that are trapped by sugar and vinegar. You know, it's brilliant. So you got to do it, and you got to keep it up.
Well, I tell you, New Hampshire, they got that black fly going on thing. I mean,
I can't take. I get scared of mosquitoes because, you know, I have a brother who's HIV positive, so that's freedom for mosquitoes and little else. Do you know what I mean? And he's in Cleveland, Case Western Reserve, and, you know, his intestines have been falling out of his stomach for a long time, and now I'm discovering that we're all bacteria, you know, from the head to the toe, and the stuff that comes out, even if it's manure, that's bacteria too, you know, so that can attract people. And we used to have a kid who had AIDS who was here at Central Square Keene, and Barack Obama called him from, you know, wherever he was campaigning because he wanted to talk to somebody in Keene, New Hampshire, who happened to have AIDS in Central Square on a given day.
Okay, wait. You saying that having AIDS is a mosquito repellent?
No, I'm saying that Matt, when he lived, he stayed in the shelter for a good while, and he reminded me of Rodney Dangerfield, very funny kid. And there was a guy named Jerry Barnes who was painting my apartment and living there on the other side of town.
You better get to it. You got 30 seconds.
That's it. And Jerry's like, no, I'm not going to stay in a shelter where there's a kid who's got AIDS because a mosquito means, you know, you can breathe and I'll get AIDS, right? So I'm like, all right, you live in a small world, but, you know, so
okay,
do I.
Well, all right, I made the connection, Gregory.
You got it.
Hey, Taryn.
Hey, Ernie, I want to cut in one thing here.
Real quick.
Sure.
I think that what's really important is because you're going sustainable, that you can attract people that are not interested in liberty. It's another really good way to, you know, people look up gardening, and they'll get a little dose of liberty.
Hey, you know, that's what's going to happen. We're going to, you know, free them by loving them and making sure they keep breathing in and out. And when the government's trying to kill them, maybe they'll think, We're the good guys. Taryn, definitely a good guy. Thanks for coming on, man.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found.
Where is the love? It's right here. Right here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, with Megan Duffield from Silver Circle Movie. Finally. Okay. I tell you, I really like this song. The reason it has such a soft spot with me is that I like the lyrics. I think it really, you know, makes a good point. And it was my daughter, Sierra. She went to a Black Eyed Peas concert. She was all excited. She came, Dad. And I heard this song on the radio, whatever, you know, then kid run around. But I never listened to the lyrics. You know, whatever. It's just another, you know, you can't dance to it. So I'm like, all right. So I'm listening. I'm going, wow. Well, what's the future? You know, everybody wants to, you know, act like what they see in the cinema. Well, here we got some cinema. It's called Silver Circle Movie. And the one thing that I want to make sure is that we understand that there is an entire generation next that can have an enormous influence on the future. And I have been doing everything I can to nurture that as much as possible because I know the impact. As a young activist 20 years ago, Donna and I, there were people that had influence on us. You know, a little $100 here and $200 there and here's $10 and whatever, you know, change the planet. It gave, you know, if we only had $200, if we only had $2,000, we could change the planet. Well, I've always been doing what I can with the media and the outlets and Freedom's Phoenix to make sure these people get the attention that they deserve because you never know. It's like a Kickstarter thing. All of a sudden, boom, here we go. Well, Silver Circle Movie is one of those booms. Megan, it's a pleasure to have you here. I'm glad you finally made it. You know, how was traffic?
Well, as you can probably guess, not the greatest. But I'm here and I'm so happy to be here. And finally, I get to see the inside of the Ernie Radio Dungeon. Yeah, and it's awesome.
Yeah, dungeon, that's it. You know, the one thing that I really wanted to... there's so much I want to show you here. Because you didn't... Yeah, you never saw the workshop we had. See, all this is from the workshop. And we just consolidated it up here so we could have the land out here. You know, and the chickens and the goats, and we'll go show you the
there's
lab.
There's chickens
and
all over the place. I drove down the road, and there's, like, pheasants chasing my car.
and peacocks. They got peahens everywhere and so on. Yeah, we're up in the... A lot of people don't know. You know, we're in the city of Phoenix. You know, right here, Glendale is right at the street over there. The other side, that's Glendale. We're up in Northwest Phoenix and got horses all around, land, property, irrigation, big-ass trees. I mean, you know, so we can grow some food here. And we have, a couple of summers ago, Don and I over here, I'll show you the garden during the break, and we're going to get stupid with it. We're going, okay, we learned what we can do. It was way more than we could consume. So we're going, okay, we're going to take this pond thing we got out here. Do the aquaponic deal, you know, have it. I tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be for Silver Circle 10th ounces. You may get a you know, dozen eggs kind of thing, you know, because we have we still have some of the 10th ounce Silver Circle cards, don't we? Yeah, we saved some of those.
We've almost sold out of all of them, just so you know. And all
well, we have some more over here, but we did. I tell you what happened when they printed them, they were kind of dark, which right. is kind of, you know, the movie has kind of got this darkness to it. And you got Davi Barker doing the artwork. He's Mr. Dark, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was kind of, they didn't get the colors didn't pop as much as we wanted to. So we just did it for free. We're just like, because we got them from them. We said, look, we're taking them back. And they just gave us, you know, whatever. And so we did it for free. So a lot of people that got those first runs, you probably wouldn't know the difference. I mean, it looks nice. But the thing is that that's a limited run.
It
you
is.
Know, that's a special. And you get those, you got something that the first time you're never going to get them again.
Right. We literally have two of the Ron Paul cards left. We sold all of them. I mean, those were the first to go. And then now that people are starting to see the movie, the one where Jefferson, the dog from the film, is peeing on the Fed guy's boot. That one's the next popular one in
line.
You
know, did this come from, you know, you want to see the future? Imagine a jackboot on head of a man forever kind of thing. Is that where that kind of comes from?
I think it was just to...
just,
you know,
have fun.
Yeah, just to get every... And that's
what
one,
I thought of when I saw that.
That's the one part in the theater where, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for all of you in Tempe and Phoenix that are going to come out and see it tomorrow night, but that's definitely the part where we get the most laughs from the whole crowd.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, this is... You know, Taryn, we talked about this. He saw it at Liberty Forum, and he had saw it at Porkfest, too, before it was done. And I'm not... You know, it was really nice of you guys to show it. You know, it's kind of, you guys get the early scene, but not the sound wasn't all done. All the scenes weren't done. It wasn't done. You got to get an idea of the story and everything. But Taryn says it was like a, you know, 3.5, 4-star, you know, at least, you know, this one that he saw at Liberty Forum. He's going, it was a totally different movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and Pasha and I have discussed, you know, if the second film does end up happening, showing an early cut is not going to happen, most
probably
likely,
not.
Because it's fun for people who really understand film and understand the editing process and audio engineering. But a lot of people that were in there were confused. They were like, oh my God, is this really going to be the movie at Porkfest? And we're like, no, this is just a very rough draft.
It was, you know, I mean, you got the gist of it and everything, you know, it was good. And then all of a sudden it goes to like a not as colored scene. It's not as highlighted.
Right.
The sound goes out. You know, it's very distracting. You lose the, you know, immersion in the movie. So, I probably suggest not.
Yeah, we're not going to do that again. Yeah. And you know, this is the first film. We're living and learning and you know, in very many ways. So,
you know, I tell you, the one thing that's interesting to me, I was talking to some of the other media guys here, you know, getting them to help promote and so on. You're going to be doing some stuff today and tomorrow. And as I'm talking to them, they're going, all right, Ernie, it's an animation, right? I go, yeah, so it was Avatar, man. Get off it, you know? But I'm going, they go, wow, how much did it cost to make? I don't know, probably less. But that's another thing. Your budget, I mean, it wasn't free. I mean, this thing is, I mean, we're in the millions, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. Yep. But that's a drop in the bucket compared to most animated films, and especially the industry films. We're about, I think our production budget was about $1.6
million. Wow. Wow. You know, I remember it was Liberty Forum a few years ago where I first saw the table there and I saw Pasha. And it took me about, I don't know, 3.2 seconds for me to realize what was going to happen. Animation, silver, freedom-oriented, I like Pasha, done. You know, how can I be your bestest friend, okay? Definitely do something. I mean, throw a little Freedom's Phoenix bird in there somewhere. I mean, come on.
Which we did.
Which you did. Thank you very much. So I'm just going, and a lot of people, you won't even see it hardly. It's like the Rebel base, and it's kind of this old tattered Freedom's Phoenix kind of on the wall thing, whatever. That's all I need. It's all good. But the thing is that I'm going, you know, yeah, I'm in the Rebel base. Nah. So what happened, though, is that was the first time that I met you, too. You had just come on somehow. How did you guys hook up?
Well, it was kind of a moment of serendipity. I had been an activist for a while. I was just kind of getting into the scene, though. I was still in college, and I was doing In the Fed work, and then I went down to Atlanta for a Campaign for Liberty conference with the Ladies of Liberty Alliance, and happened to chat it up with Pasha, and we found out we were both from the same area, and I did social media, and he needed someone to help him out with social media, and you know, I think the track we thought wouldn't be as long. I think we thought we would have had a movie a little bit sooner, but I'm very thankful that we got to build up the audience for as long as we did.
You know, that's another thing. We got to talk about the social media thing. I'm trying to hire somebody. I can't find somebody that knows what they're doing and do that. Well, you know, we'll talk, or you know somebody or something. You know, we're going to, you know, we'll talk. But the thing is that I've been interviewing a lot of people and just kind of hard to get, you know, I'm setting you as a standard. I'm like, isn't there anybody like Megan? Come on. Somebody be like Megan. But because she has been working very hard promoting this, but it's in unique and special places.
Mm-hmm.
It's Generation Next. This is, you know, a lot of the guys don't get it. They don't understand what's happening. They don't get what, you know, the future is going to bring and who's going to bring it. Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be sparked by things like Silver Circle Movie.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Wow! 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 I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
So good! So good! Yeah, I got Megan Duffield in the house. Oh, we're going to have us a good time today. We're going to go ahead and go into the next hour, seeing as how she was tartay. So we'll go ahead and, you know, give what opportunity what for. All right, this is what I want to go ahead and talk about is the how you did the marketing to the youth. And why you selected them and how the movie is oriented towards that and all that. You know, you went to a lot of places where you would find them in by the tens of thousands. You know, tell me about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, our main goal is to get this Sound Money message out to a new generation. And we found that we had a lot of luck with comic book conventions, which are saturated, absolutely saturated with... I would say it's a community that's hundreds of thousands of people. And since we do have our comic book that goes along with the film, it made it easy for us to get our foot in the door into all these comic conventions. And our comic book has been selling like crazy. I just had to re-up on orders because we have been selling so many of them. It's awesome. You know, people love it.
You know, that's another thing. The what did Yogurt say in Spaceballs? Merchandising, where the real money's made. Okay, so this has been of interest to me because there's such a wide range of stuff. I got Rebel, Silver Rebel t-shirts. I got Silver Circle 10th ounce and 1 ounce. I got Silver Circle paraphernalia. You know, you got there's one. Ooh, that's
never
pretty.
Don't leave home without it.
That's pretty. Here, let me see. Okay, all right, here you go, people. A Silver Circle medallion. You know, and what happened was Ron Paul, what we were talking about him, he held this up at a hearing. And he's like, you know, yada, 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 yada. And I remember when this happened, and I'm going, that's cool. He's holding up some silver. Megan was like, oh, man, wouldn't it be cool if that was a Silver Circle? Then you get a high-res photo or a frame shot from Russia Today or RT.com mm-hmm. had it, and she goes, it's a Silver Circle! Oh, my God! So that went on for days and weeks. And so, and then, of course, one of the dime cards that we do, we have a 10,000. We have a special die that had, because the 10th ounce of the Silver Circle is about a millimeter bigger than a silver dime. So we had to have a special die made just for you. And that right there is, man, oh, and it had, you know, Ron Paul holding that up. Man, they're very happy. And that's a very popular card, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's almost sold out, actually. We're going to have to start making some more of those.
Oh, there we got pictures of, you know, the... They have these different things all around Arizona State University, and we're just, you know, the QR code and the little things and the flyers, and it's just everywhere. Did you get to talk to the students for whatever and the young Americans, whatever?
Yeah, I've connected with all of them. The president of the Yale Club is getting people to come out this Thursday, and they're also hopefully they're using it as outreach to bring other students out who are interested in indie film.
I didn't think of that. Okay, indie film thing, too. Animation thing. You know, that's...
Gamers love this stuff.
You know, I didn't think of that. They got that Al Collins School of blah, blah, blah here. That would be a good... I didn't even think of that. You're going to get the students there. Hey, man, you guys need to come out for the whatever. Donna, look that up. Al Collins School of whatever. Send them the press release. Talk to the animation group, De La professor, teacher thing. We'll do that right by the end of the show. Donna will be done.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. That's how we work. That's how we roll.
She's quite efficient.
Yes, she is.
And awesome.
You know, but she leaves sometimes. she walks out of this room sometimes without my permission. Donna! Where's something? Because I need your help. Don't leave me, baby. I'm nothing without you. So what happens is when you go to these different events, name some of them. Like, I know it's like comic book or Comic-Con and that kind of stuff, but I had no idea until... I guess it was, we were following your movie the last few years. How many people go to this thing?
Oh, man. The biggest comic convention that I've been to was in New York City, and it was the New York Comic Con, and I think they boasted over 100,000 people in attendance from the Thursday into the Sunday. So, you know, that's freaking huge. Think of our libertarian, you know, libertarian, liberty-minded events that we have going on. Like, we're happy if we get 1,000 people, like Porkfest. When we get like 1,200 people, we're like, whoa, this is so awesome.
Oh, hell, man. In the 90s, I remember there's somebody come out, this is it? This is all you got? You got 24 people here? And we're like, what, are you kidding me, man? This is like a freaking, you know, success.
Right.
Like, I wasn't by myself. Oh, my God. We had like, you know, we had more people than we had signs. I mean, yay. So now everybody always does that. I mean, no matter how many people you have, it was never enough.
Right.
You know, the bad guys, they go, oh, and how many times did we see this during Ron Paul's campaign? That one guy, they show up over on the hill, you know.
By himself with one sign.
Yeah, and exactly. And there's 1,000 people, you know, like next to him, and they are able to get there. So I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, it's good.
The lamestream media is so last century. Now, but tell me, you know, in the industry, has anybody even given you guys the time of day?
I'd say so. You mean like the movie making industry? Pasha actually got a chance to meet up with someone from Warner Brothers recently. And whenever he was in LA for our LA premiere. Also, we have signed up with Gravitas, which is one of the fastest growing video on demand aggregators out of LA. They actually work with a lot of Warner Brothers films and big name films. So they have to choose to take us on. And they, you know, saw our proposal and said, yeah, we want to work with you guys. So that's.
Wow. I mean, what they just want to infiltrate and spy on you, and damn it.
Well, maybe.
They might
maybe.
Have some money from some Chinese or something.
I don't know.
And they're going to compete with us. Damn it. We got to get them under contract so nobody else can get them and kill this movement. Well, we want them to die.
Well, we get all the creative rights and everything like that. It's just essentially we will work with them for the next few years in getting the film out in, you know, venues like Netflix, Hulu, online streaming places, and, you know, cable television.
I am going to be very interested in how your pre-promotion pays off on this, because you have taken and done a lot of legwork and got an entire generation next that are interested in this kind of stuff, from the comic books, from the alternative whatever, from currency, Bitcoin, silver, all this stuff that's just exploding now. And you always wonder if you're going to make it in time. Are we going to be able to ride the wave? Are we going to miss the wave? And it's always like this, like when Goyette's book, The Dollar Meltdown, are we going to get it in time? Are we, you know, we do a lot of things that we do. Are we going to make it in time? It looks like it's time.
I mean,
you guys are going to hit it, and they're going to see, man, we better get in with this Silver Circle thing, or we're going to miss the boat.
Right. And I would like to think that a lot of our hard work, you know, hopefully it pays off financially, but philosophically and in terms of, you know, changing hearts and minds, I think we've already blown past our expectation for that. I mean, I talked to one gentleman at Liberty Forum whom I didn't know him until I saw him there. And he said, he walked up to me and he said, you know, some of your YouTube videos on the Silver Circle page, he goes, you actually got me to buy my first 1 ounce of silver. He goes, and now he's at Liberty Forum, you know? So it's like, he didn't even know about precious metals and, you know, hedging against inflation and protecting your wealth. And he came up and he said, that one video when you're walking around Harvard Square trying to sell an ounce of silver for $5, he goes, after that, I went and bought, you know, a bunch of silver for myself.
He goes, yeah, I was just as much a moron
as those people on the street. Exactly.
You know, that is awesome. Yeah. I didn't see that video. Tell me about it.
So it's actually one of our most successful videos on the YouTube page. I don't know what view count we're up to now, but we have
gazillion. I don't trust what they say anyway.
But me and an intern at the time walked around Harvard Square and had this a silver circle with us, and we were saying, you know, would you like to buy this for $5? And we recorded the whole entire thing, kind of like Mark Dice did that with an ounce of gold out in Long Beach, I think. And of course, I promise you, I did not edit it to make us look good. No one accepted the offer. I even put out a dollar bill in one hand and an ounce of silver in the other. And a woman said, I'll take the dollar.
Okay. Now, did you make it clear it was pure silver?
Yes. I said it is marked here 0.999 pure silver. And, you know, of course, there's skepticism and they're like, well, how do I know it's real? And, you know, and I'm like, true, I understand that. But for $5, you don't
really
want this?
For $5, I'd do it just to tell a story.
Right. And at the time, silver was only about $18 to $20 an ounce. So
only?
This, Right.
I remember when it was 3 or 2 or 186 or something. Like, I mean, you know, it was, I remember a friend of mine mortgaged his house in 2001, 2000, around in there. He mortgaged his house, took the money, bought all silver. It shot up to, I think it was $13 and something, and he paid off his house and had a bunch of money left over.
Good for him. And I wish I would have done that with Bitcoin a couple weeks ago.
I know.
Missed the boat on that.
I'm like, you know, I mean, heck, Donna goes, how many we got? I go, I don't know, a couple. She goes, yeah, well, it's $400-something for a couple now.
Right. I know. I was like, I got a couple, just thinking, oh, this will be fun. And then,
you know what I did? I gave 2 Bitcoin right before it shot. It was $48 or something. And it was, if I went and donated $100 to DefCad, I get a page of whatever I want to promote on there for a whole day. It's like buying a page on eBay or PayPal. And I go, yeah, done. Gave 2. I go, yeah, well, Cody, you're welcome to $400.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2013. This is Peace News Now. Here's what's happening in the world of peaceful evolution. Silver is trading at $27 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $191 per Bitcoin. A video featuring MSNBC pundit Melissa Harris Perry is going viral this week. In it, the TV host explains why she believes why, in her opinion, public schools are not adequately funded. Quote, "We have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to the whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments." The lamestream media pundit actually literally states that children do not belong to themselves or their parents, but instead belong to the community. This is another way of saying they belong to the state. This woman is seriously putting forward the argument that all individuals are personally responsible for the actions of others. If that's the case, then do you even own yourself? In today's episode, we'll examine stories having to do with self-ownership. Last year, lawyers in Oregon decided to take a man and woman's 8 children from them and place them in state care for unknown reasons. This week, the parents of those children are back in court, this time to try and stop their children from being injected with unknown chemicals by agents of the state. They lost the case. It was decided that the state now owns the children, and so it has the power to make medical decisions for them. Children now receive about 26 shots by 2 years of age, as compared to 4 shots in the 1960s. Several studies, including a recent independent German study from 2011, also found that vaccinated children had at least 2 to 5 times as many disorders and diseases as compared to unvaccinated children. Last year, California state employees went door to door with nurses attempting to vaccinate children at their homes after a new state law passed requiring students entering 7th through 12th grades to be vaccinated or waive their right to attend school. Last year, the vaccine manufacturing giant Merck Pharmaceuticals was exposed by 2 of its own scientists for faking vaccine efficacy data for at least a decade. Lawmakers in Colorado mandate vaccination for healthcare workers, and so have now fired 150 employees who refused to receive state injections. In other news, a Huffington Post contributor was jailed last week over a blog post he wrote for the news site. Daniel McGowan has been released from the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, where he was taken into custody and is back at the halfway house where he's been residing since his release from prison in December. Daniel was given an incident report indicating that his Huffington Post blog post violated a Bureau of Prisons regulation prohibiting inmates from, quote, publishing under a byline. The Bureau of Prisons regulation in question was declared unconstitutional by a federal court in 2007 and eliminated by the BOP in 2010. After McGowan's lawyers brought this to the BOP's attention, the incident report was expunged. Well, that's good. You know that the government is killing people around the world. By continuing to use the dollar, you are helping the government. It doesn't have to be this way. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin is money that cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. Bitcoin returns the power of money to the people. Send money to your friends' smartphones directly without using a bank. Did I mention Bitcoin payments can be totally anonymous? Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com. And finally, a robber pulled a gun at a pharmacy in Arizona this week and ran off with some OxyContin pills. 2 hours later, he went into another drugstore doing the same thing, only this time, the clerk behind the desk aims back at the robber, and he runs away empty-handed. Intent on getting more drugs, the robber then goes into another pharmacy where he gets more OxyContin. But as he was leaving, two regular people with firearms pointed their weapons at the robber, demanding he get on the ground. The robber complied and waited for the police. In summary, in the first example, no gun equals theft and possible loss of life. In the second example, clerk with a gun equals surrendering criminal. In the third example, concealed carry equals a citizen's arrest. This has been Peace News Now, your daily window to the world of peaceful evolution. For links and videos, subscribe to PNN at youtube.com/peacenewsnow. For peacenewsnow.com, I'm Derek J., reminding you that badges don't grant extra rights.
Everyone needs to get a justice shed. So you have a place to throw that little juvenile delinquent you caught loitering out on the street corner. This is not rocket science, people. I just call up my neighbors, Frank and Terry. We get out there with baseball bats, fishing nets, and we knock that suspect out. And we toss him in our justice shed. We just start dealing out some shovel beatings. That's democracy, people. That's the biggest benefit of the justice shed, people. You are in charge.
Our justice shed was all filled up, so we created this justice cage. It's just as good. These guys, I think we caught them shoplifting, and this is my daughter's boyfriend.
Look, if you don't have a yard big enough to place a justice shed in, go out and get yourself a justice barrel. I don't care. The important thing is to take control of your safety by any means necessary.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
Good morning. Yeah, you know, took Megan on the quick, compound tour and said, you know, ain't it cool? Because what we're doing is we're serving the same people and trying to inspire that she is, her and Pasha, on Silver Circle Movie. You know, tell me about Pasha. Is he happy with how things are going? I mean, seeing as how you're telling me he's meeting with Warner Brother people, I mean, what kind of crap is that? You know, you going mainstream or something on us? You know, what's up?
No, Pasha would never do that. He's the one that's always like, I'm not letting anybody get their hands on the creative side of this at all.
Why would they even want to talk to you? Obviously you're a threat or something.
Well, I think they're interested in how we produce the film on such a small budget. And I know it doesn't sound like a small budget to the Liberty community and different projects going on there. But in terms of the industry, it's a really small budget. So for
passion,
them to know.
Young people wanting to do it.
Right,
you know,
right.
Farming it out to, I don't know, the villages of Pakistan or something. I mean,
right.
You know, whatever. So how did you do it?
With the animation and everything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got $2 million spent over a couple of years, and they're going, how the heck did you do? You know, we got to fire somebody.
Right. Well, Pasha, as you know, is... had some great success, you know, in his early years, and he had the opportunity to kind of bring his passion and make it alive with a lot of the animation and visualization work he had been doing through MIT. So, because he graduated from MIT with 3D visualization and I think finance. Sorry, Pasha, if I'm not saying that right. But so he's, you know, very well versed in the software, very well versed in just animation and all that in general. So,
well, how's he as a manager, though? I mean, because having the skills and talent and passion to do this, you know, a lot of times those kind of guys get in trouble. They're like, damn, I got to like manage people and stuff and get them to, you know, do whatever. Or, yeah, how does that work with him? Because he doesn't seem like the.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
You know, the captain, make that ship turn around, make it go war guy.
Yeah, well, he's just so brilliant, and he's great at just producing this film. He's done such an excellent job at putting everything together and making stuff happen. And I like to think that I'm there for him for different things that need to happen around the office. I mean, you know, I'm dubbed the...
He would flounder without Megan.
Right. I mean, I don't want to say that, but I mean...
He would flounder without Megan.
I wouldn't be able to do my job without him either. That's for sure. He's been great.
Well, you know, the thing is that the reason I bring that up is because a lot of times, you know, it takes the visionary and the guy with the passion and the vision to do this, you know, but it's very difficult. A lot of, you know, and I know because I go through this stuff, to have someone like that everybody loves. You know, somebody's got to be the heavy. Are you the heavy?
What is the heavy? I've never heard of
that. The bad guy.
No, I wouldn't call me
bad guy.
Bad. I just like to get stuff done. That's for sure.
Some people consider that bad. Anyway, yeah, I don't. Of course. Okay, so you have this contact with Hollywood, and I'm wondering, how did that generate? I mean, you put out feelers. You say, hey, man, we're doing this and whatever. And they look at it and they go, damn, we want to meet with you. Are they kind of doing spying on you, or do they want to really work with you?
Well, it's been kind of cool working with the distribution guy that we've been working with. His name's Kurt. He's from Area 23A Distribution, and he's worked with other indie films. And he's kind of been our mentor going out into this theater release. We talk with him once a week, and, you know, he gives us pointers. He helps us get connected. So he knows people. So we know someone who knows people now, which is nice within the industry. So through that, and, you know, through Pasha's many connections, I mean, he used to live in California for a little while, so Pasha knows people. It surprises me all the time. We'll go somewhere and he'll be like, oh, I went to school with this. He went to school with John Stewart. I'm like, I don't even know half this stuff.
Very cool. You know, one thing that is interesting to me is how he started the business and doing this animation. Wasn't it like doing corporate presentations or trials or something? I mean, animation is good for a lot of stuff, but I mean, if I just need a little short, make a point clip kind of, that's not free, man. He had to know this was like expensive.
Right. But whenever he was doing it for the corporations, he was, you know, making a pretty penny for that. So, and this was prior to the economic, you know, downturn. So these people had the luxury of spending that kind of money for their companies to create these 3D visualizations to explain complicated economic scenarios. So I think that time has passed in terms of, obviously, well, you know, all these big corporations are still getting hundreds of millions of dollars in bailouts, but they're suffering, so they're not spending money on that anymore.
They're suffering. It's not as easy to get. You got to have two lobbyists to go get what one lobbyist used to do. I get it.
Right.
Okay, so now you're going in the actual releasing. When did you, you know, I talked to Pasha, and he was always kind of like, yeah, you know, you're never done with the movie. It kind of escapes, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's finally, you know, done. Are you still tweaking any, or are you pretty much done?
Nope. The movie is done. It is done. And we've got Blu-ray copies of it. We're connected with the VOD. We haven't made this official yet, but maybe right now I could let y'all know that you'll be able to get a DVD copy at Pork Fest this year.
Very cool.
Exclusive copy, because we won't be taking it out to the online sales probably until the middle of the summer. So Pork Fest is going to be one of the first places to get your hands on a DVD.
You know, Pork Fest is a good networking party, and I just love going. It really just kind of washes away civilization. You know, you just relax and just how people were meant to interact.
I love Pork Fest.
You know, and it's just, you know, but it's kind of getting to where it's a little bit more corporate, you know. It's kind of regimented, a little, you know. It's kind of what sparked us doing the Jackalope Freedom Festival up in Northern Arizona. I'm like, you know, we're going to start off with no rules. Let me tell you what happens with no rules. teenage kids throwing up targets to be shot at by 12-gauge drinking alcohol near the fire pit.
Right.
I'm going, can we have a couple of rules? I'm just wondering, can we have, you guys do that over there rules, and we'll have the old people, Ernie, we don't want to die rules over here, you
right.
know? Kind of. So, I mean, it's that kind of thing. I mean, when you go no rules, there's always somebody wants to test to see what the rules are.
Unfortunately,
you know?
Yeah.
And, but, you know, that's how, it's a social thing. You know, it's just, okay, well, you know, we're going to have, you go over, you know what the rules are? It's whatever I post on here. This is my tree. Come over here and, you know, and things right. happen.
And if you break the rules, we ostracize you.
And I can't, you know, that's kind of, you know, we had a couple of guys that kind of rambunctious, and one of the guys brought a razor, you know, a little four-wheel drive, kind of have some fun things. So, of course, they go out and roll it, you know, they, and then nobody got hurt, and it didn't really mess up anything, but, you know, who's responsible for that? You know, hey, you scratched it, now what? I got $600 to take my scratch out. Right. You know, how we, well, it's a four-wheel, and he didn't care, you know, but fortunately, you know, the guys are like, yeah, whatever, just glad nobody got hurt. But I'm going, what kind of responsibility do you have, liability, the guy that let him go and they and seat belts and all this kind of, and who, and like, you know, in a freedom-oriented libertarian society, you know, stupid people die and get hurt, and it's called Darwin, and get over it, you know? But, you know, we can kind of do it. So we wanted to start from there. And yeah, everything was fine. We enjoyed ourselves, but it gave us kind of, okay, well, I tell you what, we'll have the Ernie rule area over here. So I bring my grandkids and nobody dies. And you guys go be whatever, man, knock yourself out. And, but then Porkfest was kind of like that. And then I remember a couple years ago, it was, you know, the nightlife went on till late. The drinking was, I mean, you know, oh, the sun's coming up. I guess we can stop drinking now. And, you know, but now they're like, well, we got to turn the music down by 10. We got to make sure, oh, you can't have the liquor guys are coming around. You can't have these Roman Mardi Gras party kind of everybody doing kind
of. That thing was awesome. I remember that.
It was great. And then the next year, it's all here comes the man. And then they do the 501c3. And they're
we had a shortage of alcohol last time. I mean, yeah, there was a shortage.
Right. And I was like, I mean, it's getting a little too regimented. We'll talk about that when we come back. I mean, is that what always happens? Is that what always happens? I don't, you know, then there's another competing whatever, you know, we'll go to Burning Man. Oh, no, Burning Man's got deputies now, too. So I'm going, okay. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about it. You know, the future of the Liberty Movement. How liberty can we be?
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, the power of love, which is easy to understand when you got Megan Duffield in the house. That always makes it, you know, it's easy to love people like, you know, Donna and Megan and everything, but then, you know, who do you see? Me! Well, it's almost as good. All right. So what we're going to do is, you know, one of the things we took the time to go out and kind of look at the workshop and the barn and the kind of, you know, and she's going, wow, man, you have good parties here. Yes, we do. Okay, so we have a lot of parties. Well, what happens is we were out there and she saw the trash can flyer. I didn't know you'd never seen these before. Let me tell you how these work. whenever there is an instance that, you know, it's the gun control thing, or it's surveillance stuff is going, or they're just pissing us off because of whatever, you know, we'll take and we'll do thousands of these, 5,000, 10,000 minimum usually, and you go and you put them on all the trash cans, you know, the big trash cans in front of people's homes after they've been dumped. Let's say they dump them between 10, 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. You go out 3, 4 in the afternoon before they get home from work, and you just go and you just blanket entire neighborhoods or cities, and you put them on all the trash cans. Well, they come out, trash cans empty. You didn't have to even get out of your car. You didn't have to go on their property. You didn't go up to their door. You didn't put it on their, you didn't do anything. You just lift the lid, put it under, close it, go to the next one. Well, they come out and, oh, you know, what did I do wrong? I didn't separate my trash or whatever, you know. And they read these and they're like, oh, they don't like it at all. So they're calling the police and they call the media. And then CBS is banging on your door wanting to know how you, I'm like, thank you for coming by. It's been nice. Let me tell you everything, you know. So we have a lot of fun with it. But I tell you who it affects more than anyone else. It's the Fox News guys. It's all the guys that say, well, I got nothing to hide. You know, I don't care. I got nothing until they think you're going through their trash. And then they're like, oh, they don't like that none too much at all. So this is something that we have been able to do and have an impact. When you read that, what do you think of that?
Well, I think that the verbiage is exactly what the government would say. It's like, how did you think? I mean, you must be this of the mind of a statist, because this is like, I heard some stuff very similar to this on the news recently.
Oh, yeah. I tell you when this happened, it was like, when was it? It was like 05, 06. It was like when we first started Freedom's Phoenix. There was a version of this, something like it, you know, on the internet. I just happened to see a picture, like, you know, fly. Somebody's making fun. I go, that's a great, I know how to use that. I'll do. So we kind of set it off to the side. And sooner or later, we finally, one time we did it. The Office of Total Information Awareness, that all CNI pyramid on the earth, is a real logo. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
DARPA came out with this in 2002. That's how they see us. It's all CNI over the earth. Total Information Awareness is a Department of Homeland, whatever, NSA, DARPA, whatever the hell it was, okay? And I thought it was a spoof. We did some research. It's not. We go, you sons of bitch, man. You guys, you just keep doing what you're doing. I'll be right back. So we go, we'll have fun with this. Well, that's one thing. CBS did a thing on it the last time we did, about a month ago. This one came out a month and a half ago. And Donna and I were in Florida, and they were on my butt. They were on there to talk to me, and I go, look, it's self-explanatory. Heck, we got a webpage there, explains it, and, you know, knock yourself out. Well, that's not the message they want. You know, they want to, you know, whatever. So they're banging on. They go to my son's house. They're interviewing my son. They go like this. He answers the door, and they go, are you Ernest Hancock? And he goes, no. Do you know him? Yeah. He goes, do you know anything about these flyers? He goes, yeah. He goes, did you put them in Tempe? He goes, Tempe? No. He goes, we want to talk. And he goes, he's not here. He's just being a butthead. He's like, because my kids grew up with this. You've met my kids. You know, you met Sierra. Their whole life, they know how much crap media is. They don't even pay them.
Right.
We're in Florida. That was like one weekend. The following weekend, when we get back, my other son told me they came and visited him. He never even texted me, didn't tell me a damn thing about it.
Because it was insignificant.
Exactly. He's like, he goes, well, you're on vacation. I'm going, all right, fine, you know. Yeah. Next time, text me, okay? Yeah. But so the impact on this is because you were out, we decided to. And it has a bunch of checkoffs. And we print in red, Agent 4409 stopped by. We throw a little shelter in there. It just pisses them off, too. So it's, we asked your neighbors, children, spouse, doctor, physician about you. And you get one, which one do you check? We inspected your garden, garage, car, pet, trash. And we checked trash, okay? Then we read your mail, email, diary, Rolodex, daily planner, you know, health history.
Diary.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and we did another one. This is a 14-inch long one, but there's an 11-inch long one that's a smaller version that we use for conventions, and we slide them under all the hotel doors.
Oh.
We checked, we talked with your maid, we checked your mini fridge, we looked at your room safe, we did the, you know, and then we put the local media, and they said, you know, have you received your mandatory vaccination? Please call this number or this one to arrange a convenient time to be interviewed. Well, those phone numbers are the news desks of the television, radio, newspapers. When we go to, like, the Libertarian National Convention that was in, what year was it? I think it was, wherever the heck it was. Oh, Denver. There's one in Denver in 08. We go in there and we put the media of the local media there in Denver. So they're getting the crap bugged out of them. They're, who the heck is, you know, it's awesome.
That's so awesome.
And you guys come up with an idea to use this where you're doing the release or premiere of the movie kind of thing, and I guarantee they go to the webpage that you put down here. They can't.
Or call the news. That'd be even better.
Yeah, having the news
knocking on our door.
Yeah, no, this is...
Are you a Silver Circle? Why, yes, I am. Do you have cameras? Yes.
So you can see how this can be an activist Silver Rebel thing. You can kind of customize it and change it a little bit.
Oh,
and
it's
genius.
And you
put the Silver Circle logo up here, and we can help you with the printing on this. Because it's easy, cheesy, Japanese, man. We rocking and rolling and whatnot. So it's an activist thing. And that's one thing that you and Pasha, as you've been doing this, you know, what kind of activism, other than the silver? I mean, the silver, that's obviously. I'll tell you the one thing I thought was cool as heck. A couple years ago, it was Pork Fest. It was probably two summers ago. He came in. He said, you give me an ounce of silver, we'll do a direct exchange of 10 10th ounce silver circles for any ounce of silver.
Right.
They were gone in about a nano moment.
Oh, yeah. Those sold out very quickly. And just for all of you listening that got in on that deal, that was a very good deal.
Yes, it was a very good deal. Because you guys have premiums on these 10th ounce now. How much are they a piece now?
They're $5 a piece. So, I mean, the premium's pretty high. It's like 30% or so, I think, just in terms of the price. Just, I mean, it's the minting cost. It's more expensive to put together smaller denominations.
And I got a bunch of them. See, I knew better, you know? And you guys know better, you better get them now.
Right.
This is, and that's another thing. As silver goes up and down and up and down and up and down, I mean, does that really affect, you know, your message? Does it make a difference, really?
No, and it's been up and down, but nothing super significant. I mean, we've been kind of sitting around the 20 to 30, you know, sometime 40 range for a while, but we've definitely surpassed its old plateau down in, like, the teens. So, I mean, it just goes to show. And, you know, there's even more talk about the manipulation of silver. We have a big article on our blog and website that Ron Hira put together about silver manipulation, so that's something interesting to look into.
You know, it's being manipulated.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see any question.
Manipulated?
Yeah.
I don't think, well, what, it's never gone. You got, I go, you know what? It won't happen all at once, the awareness or what transitions and it kind of gets to its real value, but it will happen overnight.
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden, you wake up one Monday morning, you go, damn, silver must have got Bitcoin.
Right. Or not even that. It's going to, am I getting cut off?
Liberty activists around the country are starting to realize politics alone won't set us free. So what will? At Liberty on the Rocks, we believe the answer starts with living your principles, spreading ideas, and connecting with those around you. By starting a Liberty on the Rocks network, you can make a difference by uniting libertarian thinkers. Find out how much fun it is to build your local network from the ground up. Visit libertyontherocks.org today to get started.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Yeah, the man be a-coming. He's listening, too. Oh, yeah, Pasha was listening. The man. Yeah, you better call in or we're going to throw you under the bus, man. That's the way it is. See, the reason I brought it up, you know, his managing ability, because he's such a nice guy.
Super nice guy.
He's so sweet. And I'm like, you know, if you're in Hollywood, none of those guys are sweet, you know? So, but you guys are based in Boston, right?
Right.
How the heck do you get from Hollywood to Boston?
Well, Pasha was brought up on the East Coast, so he grew up in Virginia, and now he lives in Boston, and he and his wife are there, and, you know, they got a place in New Hampshire, so they're part-time free staters.
Now you can be a part-time free stater?
Yep. He's got a house up there and a house down in Boston, or
and
Cambridge.
The difference is what? It's cold, man.
Right.
You know, I'm like, you know, they go, Ernie,
freezing.
We had Dave Ridley on from the Ridley Report this week, and he goes, Ernie, we got to get you to New Hampshire. Get warmer. You know, Donna's from Pennsylvania. She hates the cold. She's like, heck no. And even though it is really hot here, but you got full-time growing seasons. The only time you don't grow here is like 6 to 8 weeks in the middle of the summer, everything dies. I mean, you know, but you can overcome that. It's just, it's like work. Winter, right. You're making some food. So the one thing that I'm looking forward to is having the opportunity to make sure that we're in a situation to where the population and certainly the young guys are educated. And if, is there watching, is that Pasha? Okay, I'll ask him. All right. Let me push the button. Hi, Pasha.
Howdy. I hear you're going to throw me under the bus.
Yeah, or you come on. One or the other. You come on, or you know, or we can just say what we want about you without defense. All right, so you ready to defend yourself?
Sure. I'll defend myself again. I probably will have to in the course of this movie once the feds get to see it.
You know, what do you, the Fed, has there been any government, are you tracking your web traffic and so on, and you go, the dot mills are, trending high or what?
We definitely get watched by the Federal Reserve and various banks and stuff like that. They, watch us. There's this, I think it's called, what is it, Megan Firk? Is it FIRC, Federal?
Frick.
Frick, yeah, Federal Reserve Information Systems, something like that. So they... they're in and watching, and I think it's just the normal things that kind of go through and look for mentions of the Federal Reserve, which we do like every day. So.
Well, I tell you, now that I got you, this is one question I want to ask you.
Yeah.
I did not know that you guys are like dealing with Warner Brothers and talking to Hollywood and kind of, what's up, and they even see you on the freaking radar screen. And I'm, wondering, I mean, you have some experience with these guys, so hopefully... you're not going to get trampled, by them or steamrollered or whatever. I mean, what are you looking at them with encouragement, a wary eye, or what their interest is in you? I mean, all of a sudden you get Hollywood eyes. What happens? What's the next step?
No, I think we're nowhere near that. I mean, for that one, I mean, that's actually a classmate from MIT, and so he and I were just having lunch and catching up. But he has a VP over there, and so he's going to introduce me to some people over there, but we already have a deal that with Gravitas that will get us into Warner if they would take us. So it's just trying to help us, maybe get some video on demand with Warner.
Yeah, video on demand. Where would that go? On satellite or in hotel rooms?
Yeah, I mean, so, that's going to be the next thing, Ernie, after... the theater run happens and the events run their course, we're going to be, trying to get people to like us on, put us in their queue on Netflix or, request us on, HBO or whatever video on demand channel it is, or look for us on Hulu. But basically, we just need to be, seen as desired on all those different video on demand and online platforms.
Well, that's what that social networking thing is. Yeah, I'm going to have to let you go, Pasha. We got a really bad connection. And it's
too bad.
Well, hey, thanks for coming, calling in, man. Now we can talk about you. We let you go.
All right, I'll listen. All right, I'll pretend not to listen. Bye.
You'll be listening. Bye, Pasha.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, it's, whatever, bad connection. But the thanks for Pasha calling in. But I wanted to talk to you about one thing. This is one thing I want to make sure I bring up. The social networking aspect of this. In the last few years, as you started working with Pasha on doing the social networking of the Silver Circle movie, you have created probably kind of a community in and of itself.
Right.
What kind of numbers are you looking at, and how do you do this, and how have you seen it change, and what about Google Plus, and is Facebook starting to go away? Is it amping up? Is it becoming the man? I mean,
Yeah, that's a great question, because it has evolved. Whenever I first started, I feel like social media was just really picking up steam a few years back. And now it's like, if you don't have, people look at you funny if you don't have a social media person working with you. Like, you get like a weird, funny look, because if you don't have it, you're not succeeding to the best of your abilities.
Are you making fun of me?
Just pushing in,
right.
Making sure
okay. I've been working on it for a while. I've interviewed a lot of people talking. I mean, they think they know what they're doing,
right?
But they don't really know.
No, there's etiquette. There's a whole different language with social media. You can't push stuff down people's throat. It's a whole community of reciprocity. That's really what it is. You do great things for people, and they'll do great things for you.
I've been doing a lot of great things. It's my turn.
I know. Karma's going to come around for you real soon.
I'm hoping. You know, this is... and because it's... I really have sought out people just like you and Pasha. Because what I could recognize it from when I was a young activist back in the day. What happened was... we were very effective in what we did, but it wasn't appreciated by those that wanted to control. When you're advocating not being controlled or individual control or, you know, freedom, they're like, no. We don't want everybody. We want everybody on our plantation and collectively taxed and due to fund our light rail system or something. I mean, you know, there's always some big gazillion dollar project and you could be part of that and we could use your social networking or activist skills in service of somebody making gazillion dollars and we'll give you a cut kind of thing. Well, some people just no. They just no. But they don't understand that. They're like, well, what's wrong with you? You must be crazy. There's a lot of opportunities for you to make money, and you could have a white picket fence and a nice car. And they don't understand that's not necessarily freedom-oriented individual's goal. But there, in my mind, is an opportunity in the future that freedom is going to be very popular. Well, here comes the Ron Paul revolution. They didn't see that coming. They couldn't understand it. You can sit there while it's happening, they're still in denial. Hell, a lot of them are still in denial. Oh, you'll like this. Saturday at the Arizona Breakfast Club, the just immediate past state chairman of the Arizona Republican Party came and asked if he could address the crowd for 15 minutes. And, oh, I'm so sorry. My son, college, Ron Paul guy now. We should have been nicer, kinder, gentler. And I'm with y'all now. And if you'll support me, we'll go back and we'll save the ship of state.
That's what they all say.
That's what they all say. And we're all sitting there going, God, man, these guys, they think they can mouth certain words and they have no clue what they're saying.
Right.
They don't get it.
Right.
Do you see it as a generational thing or a philosophical thing or... I mean, are you marketing the young? Are you going to senior citizen, assisted living events to promote Silver Circle?
No. Well, we do go to precious metals events. And
kind of the same thing?
Yeah. It's similar demographics there.
You know, when we come back, I want to really hone in on the social networking and what you do for Silver Circle and Pasha and why you were hired, how you got, brought in to do exactly what you do is what I need. You know, I'm really looking at, because I know some people, they'll go, well, I this and I have a history of that. And there, a lot of times they're older or they're young and they think they know, or older people, I've been in management and I'm new and I know how to type and, you know, whatever. And I can spell and everything. I don't really care. I mean, if his spelling was a big deal, I wouldn't talk to Drew. but he's really good at this stuff.
Oh yeah, he kicks ass.
But he gets up late.
Right.
I need somebody get up a little bit earlier. So this is something that we're going to talk about, the social networking aspect of the whole movement, because that is the future.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Screening at Pollock Tempe Cinemas tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Be there or be square.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. You're going to be doing a show over at the Clear Channel thing, morning show, Jim Sharp. And I was talking to him about it. And he goes, yeah, I got that. I guess Donna, addressed the media packet, one of them to him. He goes, yeah, I got it. You know, that's cool and everything. And he goes, yeah, the Pollock. He goes, that's a really nice theater. He goes, You're really going to like it. I had never even heard of it before. Did you go visit the theater?
No, I'm going to do that today, actually. I'm going to go by and just check out the logistics.
He was saying it's really nice. He's going, wow, that's a nice place. I'm going, okay, I never even heard of it. It's a lot of these theaters you can rent out if you give them enough notice. We do it, with the Harkins over there on Mill, and we do it with other ones around the valley. If we got something special we're doing, we need a big place. So the Pollock Tempe Cinemas, it's going to be, that's one thing, the only complaint I got about a lot of this stuff is it didn't have a time on it.
It has a time.
I didn't see it. They were going, where's the time? It doesn't say the time. Anyway, it's 7 p.m. is the showing, right?
Yep.
Okay, so 7 p.m. I'm looking on there. Yeah, whatever. I need glasses. So the teeny tiny print on the small handout, but you got these big posters. Thank you for those. You know, and I'm just like, I want Freems Phoenix on there. Put a little bitty bird somewhere, man. You know, so we get that. We got all the guys promoting that and pushing it out. And then Saturday we had the Breakfast Club, and afterwards they went out to ASU and kind of hammered that again. And so it's not a secret. You know, so we want to encourage everybody to go, because it's just a one-time showing. I mean, you're not doing this right. You know, big, giant run or anything. It's just an activist. We're going out and partying and give us something to do at spring.
Exactly. It's like another meetup event. And thankfully, we had freedomsphoenix.com and Liberty Precious Metal and Coin, or Coin and Precious Metal.com to come out and help us and support us as well.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's one thing. You get kind of a sponsor. We help with promotion and doing and passing out and so on. And Liberty kind of threw you a little bit of sponsorship to, you know, be able to play. And they like silver. Are they carrying some of the silver circles? Are they going to work that out with you?
Yeah, we're going to work something out. They're actually going to be in attendance tomorrow night, so people can chat with them as well and learn a little bit about their company and getting involved in precious metals.
Very cool. So we'll make sure we have a presence too. But this is more than just a theatrical event. It's a community thing. That's what I want to talk to you about. In the social networking of, you're out there promoting, I mean, on what? I mean, how far does this go? I mean, it's not just Facebook. I mean, what else do you use?
Yeah, we have Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We're on all the blogs. Every major Liberty blog has at least heard of us or posted about us, except for Zero Hedge. We try so hard to get into Zero Hedge, and they just won't budge. But everybody else, I mean, has been extremely supportive. Daily Paul, Ron Paul Forums.
Why not Zero? Well, they don't do any advertising, I don't think.
They do, but it's really hard to get through to them, and it's very expensive, and it's kind of like you just have to be right up their alley at the right time and the right place for them to talk about you. We've been mentioned in comments, but we haven't been mentioned within any posts or by the moderator.
You hear that? Comments, go get Zero Hedge, go slam the living crap out of them, you know, because, you know, if you ever said do that, they would.
Yes.
You know, this is... I'm wondering what the future of this is. You know, Posh is thinking, you know, I came up with this concept to what? Why was he doing, and from out of the blue, he's in corporate animation, De La, what all of a sudden he's got. And I tell you one thing, and I was telling Jim, the Clearstown talk show host, he's a good friend, and I said, let me tell you one thing that kind of surprised me, Jim. This is, you're going to like this. I go, the whole premise of this is that the Federal Reserve has taken over housing. You know, it's like Fannie, you know, Obama's already your landlord. I mean, you know, with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, kind of all these mortgages kind of went into, you know, toxic waste dump of assets. De La Bank went over to them, and then it's going to blah, blah, blah. Obama's your landlord. So I'm going, okay. So the fact that you would depict a future to where the Fed is in charge of the housing thing, and then it starts to happen.
Right.
And
scary.
I'm going, wow. Who would have thunk? Why would he even do that? Where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, I think that was between him and the screenwriter. They came up, you know, how can we make this, you know, a little bit more detached from reality so this is a truly fictional film? And that didn't really work out.
That didn't happen. You know, I'm going, wow. So this is, what's been the crowd responses as you're going to this? I mean, because I'm more interested, not just, yeah, you know, that's good, and golf clap and whatever. Then they come out, and man, they're starting to buy up the coins. Are they buying up the T-shirts? Are they wanting to be a silver rebel? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, what are they doing?
Well, if you visit our YouTube page at youtube.com/silvercirclemovie, you'll see some of the actual crowd reactions from our past few screenings from Chunky's in Nashua, New York City, and Boston, where we had, you know, sold out events for all of that. And people love that the Fed is the villain. People are so used to seeing the big bad corporations and all the, you know, animated films and comic book stories and things like that. The big bad rich capitalist guy. But now it's like, we're talking about the person who funds that big bad corrupt capitalist guy.
You got to be on somebody's radar screen. I mean, this whole concept of the Fed hitting into pop culture and at the youth, that, man, they got to create a war or something. They got to have, like, North Korea nukes or something.
Right.
I mean, you know, they'll
take
lend,
the attention off of us.
Yeah, they'll lend them a nuke. Here, you know, you need one? I mean, you know, they go, no, we got them. Polaroids right here, you know, which is why we never go after them. But I am looking at this as a much larger cultural representation of what's coming.
Right.
And I can see this community expanding. Tell me, you know, like, what are the numbers we're looking at in your social network? I mean, you got, you know, billions of people from around the world flooding in, or what? I mean, what are we looking at?
Yeah, we actually get requests. I mean, I have requests from Australia, Kazakhstan, and Finland and England, of people who want us to screen the film in their country, Mexico. But our social media numbers have just kind of been awesome, really, for an independent film. We've got, I think, 16,000 fans on Facebook now, which is awesome. You know, a couple thousand Twitter followers, things like that. But I mean, overall, we're seeing tens of thousands of hits on all of our YouTube videos, and our trailer is almost to 10,000. Our new trailer that we just put out a couple weeks ago is almost up to 10,000 hits. So,
okay, Donna, this is how we do this. Go to your new trailer, Silver Circle Movie, put it up on Haria Phoenix, translate it, and send it to Arabia. Yeah,
perfect.
See how that works?
Now we're going to be getting requests from out there.
Absolutely. You know, we did the Philosophy of Liberty, and we had that translated into Arabic. When we did that, and we were part of the Arab Spring and Tahrir Square, and we were putting all that stuff out, all of a sudden, International Society for Individual Liberty, ISIL, they go, oh my God, second next to the United States download of this film is Saudi Arabia, followed by Morocco and Egypt. And I go, what the heck? I go, I told you. You watch what happens. This is a generational thing. It's a worldwide thing. And with an animation, it has one trait. You just change the dialogue.
Right.
You just translate it into whatever. It translate into any. You just got to have somebody, you know, read it, you know, or, you know, act it, you know. But that's it. So what are the plans for other languages for this?
We haven't really discussed other languages. I'm sure we could do
Pasha, other languages.
Yep, if you're listening, Pasha, still, I guess we gotta do other languages or some other captions languages or something. But we definitely are gonna look into an international distribution plan once the DVD's out and we're moving along there.
You know, I'll tell you who to talk to. This is what happened. I talked to Ken Schulin, the economist in Hawaii that, you know, did Jonathan Gullible and, you know, what the Philosophy of Liberty was based on, you know, his work that he's done. And I talked to him. I go, you don't have Arabic. How, we don't have Arabic. Well, we wound up, you know, paying like $335, and then there was like two other $335, like $1,000 to a guy in Moscow to do it. Okay, so we're going to Moscow to get it, you know, translated into Arabic. Okay, so I'm going, they have contacts of all of the different languages that they've done of the Philosophy of Liberty, so they have people they know to get a lot. And I'm sure you guys got heck, there's young people in universities, and you just put it out in your social networking, hey, we need somebody to read whatever and somebody to evaluate, and cham, boom, it's done tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, I'm ready. Yo, let's go. Let's go. Fed, you're toast. Because the central banking thing is planetary. You know, they're going to do the, everybody's worried about the Amero. I'm going, are you kidding me? They're going to the world, though, man. You know, this is planetary. And Silver Circle Movie is going to be one of the touchstones. It's going to be one of the mile markers in human history. There's a before and there's an after the Silver Circle. And Generation Next coming up and going, hello. Well, you want to know what's going on? You want to see it happen? You want to meet these people that are doing it here in Arizona? I'll tell you what. Half the audience tomorrow night at Pollock Tippy Theater Cinema, where it's going to be at 7 p.m. is the showing, you know, and you go there, I bet you half the audience, bad guys, want to see what's what. Well, we're going to go love them. We said, we're glad you're here. You get to see what's coming, and you get to meet Megan. Beautiful Megan. You don't think so? Looky there. Ain't she pretty? You know, this is, thanks for coming in, Megan. I'm glad you drove
up here. Thank you so much. I can't wait to meet everybody tomorrow.